This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فاشرف بالاشتغال بالعلم ولا تبغي به ما عشت يا ذا بدلا ويا له من شرف عظيم.
يا
Leave that there.
Is that on the blue light?
Yes, on you.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Can I just request the brothers just to come a bit forward so we're closer to the speaker, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فان خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that paradise has 8 gates and one of them is called Ar-Rayyan, through which none will enter except those who observe fasting. So there is a gate that is called Ar-Rayyan, and it's special for the ones who used to fast a lot. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they knew the value of fasting. So one of them said, I have no desire in living in this world except for a few things: to fast the long days of summer, to pray the long nights of winter, and to sit with brothers who choose the best words like you would choose out of a basket of fruits. So they would pick their words. He said, I would sit with these brothers who would just want to listen, and I would just want to listen to the beautiful words that they would speak. So no obscenity, no cursing, no idle talk. They would just choose the best of words. And he said that these are the three reasons that make me want to live. Otherwise, there is nothing else in dunya that I am attached to. So you can see they weren't attached to the dunya. They weren't living this life because of their loved ones. They weren't living this life because of their wealth. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum would only live in this dunya to maximize the rewards they can gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by carrying out His commands. Today's lecture will be delivered by our Ustad Abu Taymiyyah Jailani from Markaz Sunnah in Leicester, who studied extensively in Darul Hadith Jamaat Damaj in Yemen under a number of contemporary scholars. So without further ado, I'll pass on to Abu Taymiyyah Jailani. Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala ad-din maratib wa darajat wa sayyara lil-'ilmi bihi usulan wa muhimmat. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah haqqan wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sidqan. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Dear respective brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As the brother announced, inshallah ta'ala, we want to be speaking about the door of Jannah, one of the doors of Jannah called Ar-Rayyan. And also because it's the month of Ramadan, I think it's imperative that we also speak about how to get the best out of the month of Ramadan so that we enter in that gate. So that we enter in that gate. Most of us might think, you know, it's easy peasy, as the kids say, lemon squeezy, you know, to just come and just fast, stay away, just, you know, sleep throughout the whole day, all the way till Maghrib time, and then that's it. We are going to be entering into that gate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned about. As it came in an authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, "Inna fil jannati baba." Jannah has a door. Yuqalu lahu ar-Rayyan. It is called Ar-Rayyan. يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ الصَّائِمُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Those who are going to enter into this door are the صائمون. Those who fast. لَا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ. يُقَالُ أَيْنَ الصَّائِمُونَ فَيَقُومُونَ. No one other than them is going to enter in this door that was mentioned. It is said, it is called out, أَيْنَ الصَّائِمُونَ. What are those who used to fast? فَيَقُومُونَ. And then they stand up. لا يدخل منه أحد غيرهم. And no one other than them will enter into it. When they are called down, they stand up, they enter. Nobody else will enter into this. فإذا دخلوا أغلق فلم يدخل منه أحد. And once they enter, the door is closed. And nobody other than them will enter now into this door. Brothers and sisters, firstly, I want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a month where we get the best, the optimum, the maximum reward. And not to make us from those who are mentioned in the hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a very powerful hadith that speaks, you know, many words. رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِ إِلَى الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ. Perhaps a person, he might fast and he gets nothing, absolutely nothing out of his fasting except thirst and hunger. So there is people like that, who might be fasting the same way that we are fasting, and from the apparent it looks exactly the same. But they will come on Yawm Al-Qiyamah and they have nothing. This is because the month of Ramadan came and maybe they didn't go and benefit from it how they should have been benefiting from. Who was the greatest of the angels? Can anyone tell me who was from the greatest of the angels? The greatest one? Jibreel. And what made him the greatest? What was the difference between him and every other angel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? Naam. The Quran. The Quran was sent down upon through Jibreel. And who was the best of the prophets and messengers? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What made him the best? Because the Quran. They also say Laylatul Qadr was the best night, and the reason for this is because the Quran came down on this night. How do you become the best of the people? By being from those who has the Quran in his heart. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allama. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and they go and teach it. The point is, the reason why I mentioned Jibreel, he was Sayyidul Malaika. He was the leader of the Malaika, the best of them. And who was the best of the Prophet? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have the angel Jibreel who is making dua against a specific person. The angel Jibreel is making dua against him. And you have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying Ameen. Ameen, which means Allahumma istajib. Oh Allah, accept this dua. Do you know who this person was? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. Wretched is that individual who manages to reach the month of Ramadan, and what happens? He is not forgiven. To be able to breathe in this month, wallahi brothers and sisters, that in within itself is a ni'mah. It's a blessing. But that which is very, very sorry to say is, there is many people, once they are given this opportunity, they don't make the most of it. Why do you think the Salaf, when we say Salaf, brothers and sisters, we intend by the three golden generations. The three golden generations, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'at Tabi'een. And our goal and objective is to try and be like them as much as possible. To try and be like who? The three golden generation. Those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised. خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of the generation is my generation. You need the companions, those who are living with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who witnessed, saw him and died upon it, and were Muslims. Then those who came after them, and then those who came after them. Allah Azza wa Jalla has praised these people in the Quran. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. The مهاجرون, who are they? Those who made hijra. Then the أنصار, those who assisted the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he made hijra to Al-Madinah.
The third group or category that was mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوا بِإِحْسَانٍ, those who followed them upon goodness. Those who try to be like them. Step by step, every move that they made, they tried as much as they could. With what they believed, with what they said, with their tongues, and what they done with their actions, their akhlaq, their mannerism. Sometimes when the people, they hear the word salaf, they get put off straight away. Maybe because of a group of people they saw. For what the intended purpose is, when we do say, trying to be like them, are the three golden generations. That's what I always say to the people. If you really want to know the way of the people of the past, then look at them. Don't look at anyone else. Forget about those who are around us, who might run around with this name. But it's the companions and the tabi'een, the tabi'i tabi'een that we try to be like. Likewise, when we come to the month of Ramadan, 6 months before the month of Ramadan, they would ask Allah to help them reach the month of Ramadan because they knew what came with it. And to show to you, brothers and sisters, that the month of Ramadan is more than just sleeping throughout the whole day and not just withholding from food and drink and desires. What Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, the companion, the great companion Jabir, what did he say? إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَبَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ وَالْآثَامِ. When you do fast, that we should also fast is your hearing. That we should also fast is your hearing. And also your seeing, your sight. And also your tongue. From what? مِنَ الْكَذِبِ وَالْآثَامِ. From lying and also sin. Prophet mentioned in the hadith, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَإِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. Fasting is just not from trying to abstain from food and drink. Rather, it is also staying away from false talk, مِنَ اللَّغْوِ, empty speech, وَالرَّفَثِ, and also obscenity. So brothers and sisters, if we want to be from those who enter into the door of Rayyan, then it's vital and crucial that we fast properly. It would be totally insane to act upon this fabricated hadith. There's a fabricated narration that goes around every year on WhatsApp. People are sending it to each other, social media. Our religion teaches us to do tathabbut, which means to verify when a piece of information comes to us. There's a narration that says, صَمْتُ الصَّائِمِ تَسْبِيحٌ. The silence of the person that is fasting is tasbih. So me, if I stay quiet throughout the whole day, is as if I'm saying subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. Wa nawmu as-sa'imi ibadah. And the sleeping of the person who is fasting is a ibadah. So one might look at this narration and think to himself, okay, I'm going to finish with sihri, I'm going to wake up for suhoor, I'm going to eat, fill my belly, then min ba'd al-fajr all the way till dhuhr I'm going to sleep. Because when I'm going to be in ibadah, then from duhur till asr, asr till maghrib, I'm going to wake up 10 minutes before iftar, and I'm going to have all the pakoras and the samosas, and so on and so forth, throughout the whole Ramadan I do this. This is a narration, brothers and sisters, that is ضعيفٌ جِدَّ. It is very weak. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he engaged in activities in the month of Ramadan. And those who look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will find that in the month of Ramadan, from the activities that took place was the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr and also the conquest of Mecca. The Battle of Badr took place on the 17th of Ramadan. 17th of Ramadan in the second year. It was also the year which Siyam was legislated. The fasting was legislated in that month. And also you have the conquest of Mecca. Before anybody gets the wrong impression, I'm not trying to encourage anybody to go to Syria and fight. You know, this is something that we do not encourage at all, and it's something that goes against the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. My shahidu min al-kalam, it was something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done. He engaged in activities. He used to recite the Quran. He also used to spend in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal as much as possible. It was a month of activity, and it wasn't a month of just sleeping and not doing anything. Before I move on to some of the activities that a person could engage in order to enter into that door, that many people that are not going to be given the tawfiq, the success, Because we find today, and we've seen it multiple times, when the month of Ramadan was coming, and people realized it's going to be 17 hours, some people started saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raj'un." When do you say "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raj'un"? When a calamity befalls you. Allah says in the Quran, "Alladhina idha asabatuhum musiba qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raj'un." Those, when a calamity befalls them, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raj'un." What happens to these people? Ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim wa rahma. These people, Allah Azza wa Jal will reward them or send down upon them, you know, sakina, like rahma, yani mercy, blessings. These are the guided ones. People looked at Ramadan 17 hours, kayf, how? How could I possibly even fast the month of Ramadan? And they prevented. They decided not to fulfill this ibadah. Rather, brothers and sisters, I always mention this every year. The fact that we're fasting for such many hours, I believe is a blessing in disguise. Can anyone mention why? It's 2 points. Why is it a blessing in disguise? 17 hours, huh?
Person who's fasting is accepted.
You watched the video, right? Huh? I mentioned this before. Huh? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ. Three people won't have the dua rejected. And you know who they are? One of them that was mentioned in the hadith, الصَّائِمُ حَتَّى يُفْتِرَ. The person who's fasting until he breaks it. Until he breaks it. So you have 17 hours to ask Allah Azza for a wife, to give you a nice job. You know, if you want her to look like this and to have this haircut, you could always add that to the hadith, to the dua, sorry. You want a change in circumstance, you have family problems, you could ask Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, some of you youth are smiling, I'm actually being serious. Being here in the summer with everybody here dressed, you know, in a very inappropriate way, it can get very, very difficult for a guy. So to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla in the most difficult of circumstances, all the problems that we have, that we currently face, the obstacles that is placed between us and our ibadat. You know, I've seen time and time again parents making dua against their children because they might be driving them crazy. Then they are very, very naughty. Rather, you just making one dua for them could be the reason why Allah Azza wa Jalla guides them. Ash-shahidu min al-kalam. This is a blessing. The people in Saudi Arabia, when I left, they only fast 8-9 hours. They're missing out, I see. We have an opportunity that they may not have. We might be busy. Sorry, they might be busy and they might not get the opportunity. We work, we come home, we have hours. From 5 till 9 is another 4 hours that we could engage in dua. Another one is, fa'ida, benefit I wanted to mention. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, al-ujuru ala qadr al-mashaqqah. A person is rewarded in accordance to the difficulty that he suffers from while performing the ibadat. So we have 17, 18 hours that, you know, we have to endure. They only have 8, 9. So do you think that they are going to be getting the same reward as us? Kalla. So these are two blessings that we have that nobody else has. 17, 18 hours that we are fasting today. What I wanted to mention was, before we move on to some of the things that a person can engage in, one of the things that destroys and that could potentially be the reason why we get nothing and not enter into that door called Ar-Rayyan, that's only specific for those who fast, is social media. I'm not trying to tell you close or, you know, get rid of your phone or anything like that. Rather, it would be insane in this day and age that we're living in for a person not to be using social media. Rather, we have a cup. Can I say that cup is halal or haram? Just like that, without looking or how it's being used? Of course not. That's why they have a principle in Usul al-Fiqh. Al-Hukmu ala shayin far'un an tasawwurihi. You can't put a ruling on something until you know the issue properly from every angle. So now this cup that we have, depending on what's inside it, either becomes what? Halal or haram. Halal or haram. If I'm serving khamar in there, Is that halal or haram? That cup, is it being used now? Can I say this cup is being used for something that is nice? Of course not. But when it's being used for milk, I could easily say that this is something, you know, halal, feeding someone with that cup, especially in the month of Ramadan. And so on and so forth with other means that we have. Brothers and sisters, this phone that we have, this phone, yesterday I done a whole lecture on the issue of social media and how it could easily be a mass destruction. Not a weapon of mass destruction, but a mass destruction for what we are currently trying to achieve in this month. If now your social media is affecting you in your ibadat, do you know, brothers and sisters, that this phone could become haram to use? Using WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram. Find out some of the mashaykh, they call it Fitnagram. Facebook is called Fiskbook. Depending obviously how you use it. You could use it with so much goodness. We have Facebooks, we have social media, YouTube channels, but depending on what you are spreading on there and how much is taken of your time, could easily become haram or what? Halal. If it's now affecting your salawat, you're busy just speaking to people and checking what's being posted on Facebook. One day on Facebook, one day on Instagram. No, some brothers, may Allah bless them, they have every type of social media. I personally lost count what's coming out. It's affecting your salawat. It's affecting your Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, we might not get another Ramadan. The Prophet told us about a salat. How many hours between Dhuhr and Asr? Went to ask one of the youngsters, huh? One is wearing the green. Huh? Between Dhuhr and Asr, taqriban, approximately. 4 hours. Four and a half hours. And the one that's saying all the way at the back, the old man, who needs to lean on the back because he's so old and his back hurts, and come forth. I'm going to ask you a question. Remain standing. How, you know when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how far was he staying from him? When Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he started teaching him about Islam, how far was he sitting? Jibreel was in Mecca and the Prophet was in Medina. Where was he?
Next to each other,
good. You can sit down. فَأَزْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. He connected his knees to his knees. What does that show you? That when there's someone giving you knowledge, you try to get as close as possible so you could benefit. This is from the etiquette of a student of knowledge, or when you're listening to a khutbah, when you're listening to a lecture, when you're listening to a reminder, you try to get as close as possible. What was the point I was mentioning? Now, my ask you about Maghrib, right? What is the time span, the duration between Asr and Maghrib? The question was for you.
It depends on where you pray.
Depends where you pray. If you're praying in this country, it might be. But approximately in this country, Nottingham, 4 hours, another 4 hours. Even though you find that the times, they're not long at all, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? إذا قام أحدكم للصلاة فليصلي صلاة مودعين. When one of you stands up for the prayer, then let this person pray the farewell prayer. This is now the salawat. You might not reach another salat. You might not reach another prayer. Do we have a guarantee that we're going to be able to reach Maghrib? I might pass out right now and my ruh might go. Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, is not going to bell you or send you a WhatsApp message, brother, get ready, I'm coming. يَأْتِيكُمْ بَغْتَ. It'll come to you unexpectedly. Bang, like that. You're not going to get a reminder. You don't have an alarm that is set to tell you when you're going to be passing away. Or a time span. You know one thing that you turn, gives you 2 hours. No, you don't have that. If this is now pertaining to Salat, that is right after the other, and you've been told to pray a farewell prayer, then how about the Ramadan? Between the next Ramadan is 12 months. When I was in Medina a couple of weeks ago, just before the month of Ramadan started, And we see this all the time. When you live in Medina, you pray a janazah nearly every single, after every single prayer. And it becomes normal to you. Rather, it's a reminder. It could be any of us soon. Sorry? When you hear the janazah like after every salah, then when you go for umrah, every salah you're praying a janazah. I seen with my own eyes people just drop like that. Just before I came, someone died inside the haram. He went to sleep, the time of salah, they're trying to wake him up. He doesn't wake up. He went to the Prophet's masjid, he came as a mu'tamir, person before me, umrah, he's lying there. He's waiting for the next salat. In his sleep, he passed away. Another individual that I saw outside the haram, on the courtyard. You know, when you go out to haram, you find white floor, right? Someone just there just collapsed. Everyone thought maybe he just dropped, something happened. No, he died. He wasn't able to reach the next prayer. So what guarantee that we have that we're going to reach the next Ramadan? People, yani, don't realize that before the month of Ramadan, everyone is overwhelmed by excitement, right? No one expects that he might reach or might not reach it. It's not on the back of the minds. Ibn Majah, you know Ibn Majah? We have 6 books of hadith. 2 are the most authentic books after the book of Allah. Can anyone give them to me? Huh? Bukhari and Muslim. The other 4?
Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud, Nisa'i, and...
You took the answer for everyone. You're speaking on behalf of everyone. So you have Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, and also Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah, brothers and sisters, he died 8 days before the end of Ramadan, on the 22nd. Some might have the mentality that, okay, when Laylatul Qadr comes on the 27th, that's when I'm going to, you know, engaging ibadat. This is a very big mistake. Yesterday I told the same story. Well, yesterday when I was in Preston, someone told me this story, and then I mentioned it in the morning. When I was giving a lecture in Makki Masjid in Manchester, he was mentioning a story of, you know, in Misr, in Egypt, what they do is every day of Ramadan, the sisters, what they want to do is they want to cook halawa, sweets, for those who come for Taraweeh. So every day a lady takes that day in order to cook for everyone that comes to the masjid, and they give them out, you know, these sweets and these candies, or, you know, one of these ones they cook, not the 1p ones that they sell in the corner shop, but the actual sweet shops, you know, that the, you have the Asian people, they, you know, they tend to make this more. Ala kulin, long story cut short, there was this lady. She asked to cook the halal with the sweets for on the 21st. What they done was, they allocated her for the 27th. She told them, no, why are you doing this? I want to be the one that's doing 21st, I chose this. The next morning, do you know what happened, brothers and sisters? She passed away. After the 21st. The point being is that we might, you know, try to look so far ahead. We book our holidays, what we're going to be doing in 2018. We're in 2017 now, right? What makes you think that you're going to even reach the next day? So we need to be on our toes. Especially now. The last 10 days is round the corner. You still have a chance to prepare yourself for the last 10 days. Because it will be really, really difficult. You get to the last 10 days, and then what? You can't hack it. It's too difficult. You're not able to stand for long periods. The reason why I was mentioning this issue of social media, because wallahi, brothers and sisters, we are living in a time today that the person who doesn't, you know, continuously use his phone, he's looked as an outcast. Just the other day, a brother sent me a picture. And you know how they say pictures, they speak 1,000 words, right? Someone took a picture of some people who were standing at on the railway. What do they call it? When you get into, they're waiting for the train. He's inside the station. They're waiting for the train to come. There were 6 people there. 5 of them, everyone was on their phones. Looking, just like that. One of them was just looking around. You know what someone commented on the bottom of that picture? Urgent, urgent. There is one guy who is still up to date with reality. He was on this Snapchat that you have on the WhatsApp, right? Snap. So I told him, send me the picture. Because wallahi, it's, yani, it speaks, yani, fi'lan. The reality speaks 1,000 words. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, one of the mashayikh of the Haram, the Prophet's Masjid, may Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve him, he was mentioning a story once. He said, أعجبني ما فعلته العجوزة. I became astonished by what this old lady done. You know what this old lady done? She said, anybody that wants to enter into my home, let him leave his phone in that basket near the door. She has her kids that come and visit her once a week. Once a week. And when they do visit her, everyone's on their phone busy. لاهيةً قلوبهم. They are just distracted. This is why today when you have two people sitting with each other, you have, let's just say, two people sitting at the back. When you go to them, you have to give salam to four things. Him, the phone, and the other person, the phone. Two people are sitting in front of each other, and they're not socializing. Because this has become another person. It's become another person that one is busy with. The amount of marriages this has broken, because of this, as broken marriages. Spouse, he complains, his wife doesn't give him time. In another place, bil'aks. And brother and sister, wallahi, you'll be surprised. The amount of time that you will save, once you put this to the side, once you get rid of it, use it only selectively in your day. Now I'm going to read, inshallah ta'ala, how some of the Salaf, they were, when it comes to, or when it came to the month of Ramadan. See how I mentioned in the beginning, brothers and sisters, we're trying to be like who? The companions, the tabi'een, the tabi'at tabi'een. In everything that we try to do, it's all good saying that we follow the Quran and the Sunnah, but what is very, very important also to restrict it with the understanding of the Salaf. With the understanding of the Salaf. I can't bring my understanding, or my Sheikh's understanding, or another person's understanding. The Sheikh, that person who went out and he studied the religion, he's only here to do what? To connect you to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah mentions, looked upon the understanding of the Sahaba. In the Ramadan, how did they adorn themselves? Because the moment I start giving you my understanding, or someone else's understanding, it could be the reason why I become a lunatic. And I'll give you an example, and I'm going to be very straight up about it. A couple of years ago, a family member of mine, she came out on Facebook and she said, and she's saying this on a world wide web, social media, just to show you, because of the understanding you might have of the textual evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah, it could be the reason why you really destroy your religion. She came out on Facebook, it was a sister, not even a guy, it was a sister. She's promoting on Facebook that it's okay to go and blow yourself up. And obviously this hurt. That time I was still in Yemen, I was trying to, you know, learn the religion of Allah, and because I know this sister, it's really, you know, it hurts. I'm asking, you know, I'm like commenting, okay, where did you get this from? What did you do? How did you come to this conclusion? She's saying that Anwar al-Awlaki told her this. May Allah have mercy upon him. You know, everyone has these mistakes, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive everyone who falls into mistakes, because he gave her the understanding. And then when you look at the textual evidence, the way it was interpreted, you will find that it's been taken out of context in totality. He was an individual who used to bring the Quran and the Sunnah in many of that which he used to say. But then there was that 10%. It could be the reason why a person, he goes and he blows himself up. Wallah, I know many people that were affected through this. The reason why I'm mentioning this, I'm not trying to have a dig at him, but to mention to you that because of the understanding of certain texts, it could either make or break a person. There was this brother, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, and I'm going to mention this because it would really hurt me to see some of these young kids here to go do something crazy like that. I used to come to Nottingham quite some time. Some of you that might know this, and just so you are wary and you don't fall into this, There was a brother who used to come to my lesson. I used to come to Nottingham. There's this masjid on top of a shop. I think it's called Masjid Sahaba. And I taught a whole book there called Al-Mubadi Al-Mufida. There was a brother who used to record the lessons. He was a brother who used to record the lessons. And now you find his name all over the newspaper. And you see, he was from here, from Nottingham. And I think it's relevant that I mention this because the chapter is called what? It's called Rayyan. And this brother was called Rayyan as well. So Shahidu min al-Kalam, the point is, this brother used to record the lessons and he was very close. He was from the students that used to sit here, right in the front. He was also the brother who recorded when I had the reminder speaking about suicide bombing. That suicide bombing, it goes against our religion. There's so many narrations from the Sunnah. مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسُهُ بِحَدِيدٍ عُذِّبَ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ. Whoever kills himself with a piece of iron, he's going to be punished with it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He uploaded this online. What happened was, the lessons were stopped because of some brothers who were very, very rough and tough. Some of our brothers who used to study with me from Damaj. The people who used to attend the lessons, they were brothers who were on the fringes of their religion. Some of them newly reverted. And because of how some of these people they thought, which was very narrow-minded, they stopped the lessons. For whatever reason, don't want to go into that. What happened to this brother? He started being exposed to doubts. He started being exposed to doubts. And now, subhanAllah, that very brother who used to come very close to me and write down the lessons and was from those who was uploading it onto the internet and knew the issues. Anybody who studies me will realize that I'm totally against extremism when it comes to, you know, killing an innocent soul, suicide bombing, making a bomb and all sorts. And then, I don't know what happened to the brother. He was imprisoned for, you know, making, or he wanted to go and do something like that. Can you see now the understanding? When you start being exposed to doubts, how that could change the understanding you have of certain texts? Wallahi, I would be really hurt. Some of these young kids that are sitting here, for me to find out tomorrow, oh, this is the brother who used to come to your lesson. I will send the article while I was in Medina and it really hurt me. Someone you've been teaching, one of the most beloved things to a teacher is that if his students are benefiting. And I felt this about the brother. But then when he becomes misguided or he deviates, it really hurts a person. So the understanding, brothers and sisters, not my understanding, not my sheikh's understanding. When we used to study, I used to go up to the sheikh. Sheikh, where did you get this from? It has to be in accordance to how the companions, they understood this. So how were the Salaf when it came to the Quran? You have Al-Aswad ibn Yazid. Who was Al-Aswad ibn Yazid? Aswad ibn Yazid was a tabi'i who met Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He met Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and they say his eye went. He lost his eye because of what? Excessively fasting. كان الأسود بن يزيد يقرأ القرآن في كل ليلتين في رمضان. He used to complete the Quran every two nights in the month of Ramadan. You'll be somewhat, you know, close to that once you get rid of social media, and I guarantee you that. Us now looking at our phones every 10 seconds, every 20 seconds, distracts the person. Them people in the past, they never had this distraction. Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, who is Imam al-Zuhri? Does anybody know? Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, you always find him in the chains of narration. Bukhari and Muslim, you find him in there. He was from the most tremendous of the tabi'een. Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ قَالَ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامِ. When the month of Ramadan enters, it is only the month which we do what? We turn to the reading the Qur'an and also feeding the masakin. Look who they followed. Who used to do this? Look what Ibn Abbas said. Ibn Abbas, the great companion, he said, كَانَ النَّبِيصَ أَجْوَدُ النَّاسِ. The Prophet ﷺ was from the most generous of people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونُ حِينِ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ فَيُدَارِسُ الْقُرْآنِ. He would become more generous when Jibreel used to come to him and he would teach him the Qur'an. وكان أجود ما يكون من ريح المرسلة. He would be more quicker in giving charity than the blowing wind. When the wind comes, does it come crawling? Comes, it swishes past you, right? He was quicker than that. He would give charity. So now we have the next generation, the tabi'in, trying to do exactly that. Tilawatul Quran. And also it'amul ta'am, to feed the masakin. You have Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. Who knows Imam Malik? Imam Malik rahimahullah was one of the four great a'imma. When you hear the four madahib, one of them is Imam Malik. The other one is the great Imam Abu Hanifa. Third one, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmed. They were from the best and the most tremendous of those to walk on the face of this earth. And their madahib, these are the four madahib that are currently studied all over the world. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, إذا دخل رمضان يفر من قراءة الحديث. Allahu Akbar. What is the hadith? Can one of the youngsters tell me, the kid wearing green, it's always the guy that turns around, you know, that gets picked. It's always you. The guy that says this, it's always him. Stand up. What is hadith? I've already asked that one. You. No, not you, the one next to him. Stand up. Okay, he's a bit shy. You.
Is it a saying of Prophet Muhammad?
Naam. When we hear a hadith is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a proof, it's a textual evidence. That when a hadith comes, you have to accept it straight away. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, who was a great muhaddith, he had a compilation. You know how we have Bukhari and Muslim, right? He had a compilation called Al-Muwatta. His book, some scholars mentioned that it was the most authentic kitab. The most authentic book. But we just mentioned it's Bukhari and Muslim though. Bukhari and Muslim came after that. Before that, it was the Muwatta of Imam Malik. He was a great scholar of hadith. You know what he used to do in this month? He used to run away from hadith wa majalistul ulama. If you look at it, let's just pay close attention to this. Is he running away from sin? Is he running away from evil? He's running away from hadith. 11 months of the year, he's going to be busy with hadith. This month, he said, because it's the month of Ramadan, the month of Quran, I'm going to busy myself with the Quran. He used to run away from the hadith, guys. Because what? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran came down on. It was the month of Quran. Sufyan al-Thawri, again from the most tremendous of the tabi'een. These are the people that we need to try and be like. إذا دخل رمضان ترك جميع العبادات وأقبل على تلاوة القرآن. When the month of Ramadan came, he would run away from all types of ibadat. He would run away from what? All types of ibadat. Maybe he was always, observing Salatul Duha or any other ibadat, his sunan and so on and so forth. But he would busy himself with just the Quran. Because it's this month, the month of Quran. Yani Ibrahim al-Nakha'i. Ibrahim al-Nakha'i. يفعل ذلك في العشر الأواخر منه يعني يختم في ليلتين. In the last 10 days he would complete the Quran twice. Sorry, he would complete the Quran every two nights. Ibrahim al-Nakhi, the last 10 days. So how much is that? How many times he finished it?
Five times.
And in the first 20 he would do what? He would complete the Quran every three nights. So how much does that average out? 20 divided by 6 point something. Remainder. I'm going to ask someone, a kid, to do maths now. Let's see who's good at maths and got the A grade when he was, you know? Some of them are already shaking. I can see it, the ones at the back. You know, brothers and sisters, we have 15 days remaining. We could still finish the Quran and do more. Normally we have 30 days, right? If a person now, he reads four pages after every salat, How much will he finish throughout the day? The one that's right at the back. Again, look, he turns around. Huh, you. 4 times 5 is how much? 20. How many pages in each juz? If we look at the Saudi prince, 20, right? That's one juz. How many juz in the whole Quran? 30. So if we do one every day, what will happen? We finish the Quran in 1 month. Okay, now we have to step up our game, right? We have to get better because it's the last 15 days and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the last 10, كَانَ يَجْتَهِدُ فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. He used to strive in the last 10 days more than what he used to do throughout the other days. And also the Prophet Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرِ شَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ وَأَحْيَى لَيْلَهُ وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ. He would tie his belt. In Urdu they call it lungi. Somali they call it ma'wis. He would tighten his belt. Yani, he would busy himself with worship in the last 10 days. He would put his wife to the side. Sorry, me and my Lord. So he needs 15 days. If we take all the maths that we've just been calculating now, how many pages could we do after every salat in order to finish the Quran? 8 pages. Brothers and sisters, 8 pages takes maybe 7-8 minutes, depending on how fast you read. Or maybe a bit more, let's just say 10 minutes. 10 minutes after every salat is how much? 1 hour of your day. How many hours in a day? 24 hours. Billahi alaik. 24 hours of your day, you can't find 1 hour? 1 hour. I think that's, you know?
Questions.
Yeah. Jazakumullah khair, brothers and sisters, for listening very, very attentively. Especially you young, you know, brothers and sisters, you brothers that are there, who we hope inshallah ta'ala are going to carry the flag to teach the people al-Islam, the correct version, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakallahu khair, thank you very much, Ustad Abu Taymiyyah. If there's any questions, anybody's got any questions?
So you know how you said that if the day is longer, then you can do more dua, but then surely if the night's longer, then you can do more qiyam. Is that Quran also? That's the type of dua
you could, but I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, really lightened it upon us people here, even in the night. The nights are short, because what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do? You have hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. كان رسول الله صلى الله ما كان رسول الله يزيد في رمضان ولا في غير على 11 ركعة يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن ثم يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن ثم يصلي ثلاثا. Throughout the whole night, he would lengthen his prayers, 4 rak'at. It would be for hours. And then he would pray another 4 rak'at, and then another 3. And their nights were long. Now, you have a few hours. Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, because you can't make it so long, and obviously Allah Azza wa Jalla can see our situation, hopefully we'll get that reward as well. Of being able to perform the 11 rak'at throughout the whole night, and it's only a few hours. I remember when I was in Yemen, in Damaj, I think Isha was around 8 o'clock. The last 10 nights, well, the last 10 hours, what would they do? From 8 o'clock all the way till Fajr, they would be praying Taraweeh. It's very difficult. Na'am, they will get rewarded. But because your nights are here, you can't obviously do anything about it, right? We're in that situation. We can't lengthen our nights. But because we are trying to be fearful of Allah as much as, but we're trying to, you know, attain the sunnah, trying to be like the Prophet as much as we can. But because of that, we can't do it. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very merciful to us. And we perform the 11 rak'at throughout the night, even though it's a few hours. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, us, you know, intending to try and be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he used to be like his prayer, even though we can't do it exactly like his because of the night, we'll get that reward inshallah.
Inshallah. Any other questions, brothers? If there's none, then Akhi, can you just maybe just list the other 7 gates in Jannah? You know, the gate of Salah, gate of Dhikr, just well, to remind
us. I haven't memorized the hadith.
Okay.
I haven't memorized the hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned, من كان يعلم شيئا فليقل به ومن كان لا يعلم شيئا فليقل الله أعلم. Whoever knows something, let him say it. Whoever doesn't know that thing, then let him say Allahu A'lam. Today, wallahi, we're trialed. Many people have been trialed. You find in the cafes, any Dom, Dick and Harry is coming and he's interpreting the Quran. You're not just speaking about anyone's speech. If someone came and said about your mom, she said this or she said that. Wadan taqawwul. He done something called taqawwul, where he misinterpreted her speech. Everyone here is going to get very upset, right? If he does it again, we're going to find our jaws in his mouth. This guy is speaking about my mom in such a way, he's saying something that she never said. This is pertaining to the creation. God in the creation. Imagine Allah Azza wa Jalla is messenger. Person has to be daqiq, has to be very decisive, very minute in what he explains. No.
Yes, Isa.
Are you two brothers?
They are, yes.
MashaAllah, I can see the resemblance. Huh?
What advice would you give to brothers? Because I know like it's exam season and those who choose not to fast on the day that they have exams. In order to try and like, because they believe that obviously when fasting is hard and it's harder to concentrate, what advice could you give them?
Okay, I just repeat the question for the sisters. Yeah. The brother's asking, what advice can you give to the brothers or the sisters who are revising for their exams or going to be sitting their exams? Should they be fasting and things like that?
Giselle. Okay. Firstly, the exams are in the morning, right? Or is it in the evening? Okay, afternoon. Around what time?
1-2 o'clock.
1-2 o'clock. But most of them are in the morning, right? Okay. When does a person normally become so exhausted? Just about when we're reaching 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you know? And it's a common question that you find a lot of the kids, they're trying to get a fatwa. I'm not trying to say you, huh? But they're just trying to get a fatwa. When a person has a sihri in the morning, and he goes to sleep, he wakes up, most people often don't eat till like after 12 o'clock, right? Lunchtime is 12 o'clock. Me outside of Ramadan, by the time I reach 12 o'clock, I'm exhausted. I need to digest something. I can't hack it. That's just me. I'm a skinny guy, and I have a very high metabolism, and I have to eat. In the month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, most of us will agree, we can go maybe 10 hours, 11 hours without feeling anything. Why? تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Take part in the suhoor, eat, you know, at the time of sihri, as they call it. For indeed in the suhoor there is a lot of barakah. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, me personally, I don't drink nothing other than just water. Until this very day, I don't think for suhoor I've ate anything. And I just, there's reasons behind that. Are you there with me, brothers and sisters? So try and eat, those especially who are going to be they've got exams. Try and eat as much as possible in the time of suhoor. Another thing that you could do is istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَى قُوَّتِكُمْ. Now she does another one. But anyways, there's another verse that says وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَى قُوَّتِكُمْ. When you do istighfar, we say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allah will give you strength above strength. Try it. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua for him, to him. Because you have an advantage that the non-Muslims don't have. They don't believe in Allah. He's not going to raise his hands. Ask Allah as well to help him in the exam and to give him strength. And you'll be responded to straight away. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ يَرُدُ مَا سِفْرَى. Allah is shy, he's generous, that when his servant puts his hands up to him, that he sends him back empty-handed. So you're fasting. On top of that, the hadith that we mentioned, one of the means of your dua being accepted is what? Fasting. And then on top of that, you put your hands up to him, which is another means. And you ask him through his names and attributes, which is another means. So on and so forth. Allah Azza wa Jal will inshallah ta'ala strengthen you. And it won't be much of an issue. And then once you get home, go to sleep. Strengthen up. No.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much, Ustad Abu Taymiyyah. Thank you very much for coming and giving us your beneficial knowledge. Jazakallah khair. We only have 1 minute left, brothers and sisters. So just to quickly inform you all that tomorrow we do have a school visit, a school coming to visit the centre tomorrow from 10 a.m. till 2:30 p.m. and they want to learn about Al-Islam. So one of the things that they want to witness is seeing Salatul Dhuhr in Jamaat. So if any brothers who are not working and they can make it here for Salatul Dhuhr at 1:30, please try to come, because you're going to have 25 children and about 5 teachers sitting at the back there, and they want to see the brothers praying in unity, in congregation. So please, brothers, just try to make it tomorrow if you can, if you're not working. Salatul Dhuhr, 1:30 tomorrow.
Especially the youngsters. The youngsters, if they come and other youngsters see these youngsters, they will think that Al-Islam is not just for old people.
That's right. No? That's right. So please remember, brothers, this is, you know, this is a da'wah center. It is a masjid. It is a youth center. It is a place where sisters can come and obviously do their thing. But also the main thing is that this is a da'wah center, and we should be giving a lot of da'wah to non-Muslims and clarifying the misconceptions that are out there on the religion of Al-Islam. So if you can, try to make it, brothers, tomorrow. Jazakallah khair. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Yes, brother?
سؤال واحد. هل ياكل في نهار رمضان متعمدا؟ حكم شنو؟
والله اختلف العلماء الى هذه الاقوال. ومنهم من قالوا انه لا يقضيه لكن عليه يتوب الى الله. If a person does it متعمدا, he breaks his fast purposefully. Okay? Without any reason whatsoever, this person is seriously sinful. It's a serious sin that he's falling into. You know, and some of them, they said that he has to make it up and he has to, you know, make tawbah to Allah. But if a person has a reason, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. When a person is a traveler or he's sick, he has to make it up another time. It has been mentioned here. As for this person, he has no reason. He has to really make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know?
Inshallah. Okay, let's not delay the opening of the fast. So if brothers can go downstairs and open your fast, Jazakallah khair. And we'll give out the anop here, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.